This morning I want to talk to you about, where is the church pointing the world? Where is the church pointing the world? I want you to go with me to Galatians chapter 6. When you have Galatians 6, go with me to Acts 27. Look with me at Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Verse 14, Paul writing to the church of Galatia says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Again, Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." That is where my glory is. That is where my glorying is. It's in the cross of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Acts chapter 27, verse 41. It says, "And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained immovable, but the hinder part of the ship was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." I'm going to pray, and as I pray, go back to Galatians 6. Lord, I just pray that you would help me. Help me, Lord. God, this is your word for us this morning. It's a very vital word. And Father, I'm just asking that you would help me to deliver it in your wisdom. Help me to deliver it in your strength. God, help me to deliver it in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, I thank you. You are my helper. And I am so grateful, God. Lord, we love you today. And our hearts are open. We desire to hear the word to our hearts. We thank you that in such dark times you have a living light, a living word. We thank you, God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We began with Galatians 6:14. Paul says in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I just want to say that over the years, this verse has become a verse that I have really begun to treasure in my heart because of what Paul is conveying here. You see, when the Galatian church was first birthed into being, they became a people that were quickly being liberated. They were quickly being set free. The Holy Spirit was breaking bondages in their life. They were a people that were being transformed. The Holy Spirit was beginning to do a phenomenal work in their life. And more they were reflecting Jesus Christ. And their light was just becoming brighter and brighter and brighter because of what God was doing in their life. This was a liberated people. This was a transformed people. But see, something had happened that was now beginning to hinder what the Holy Spirit was doing in their lives. Something was beginning to happen that was hindering that liberating work, that freeing work, that depth they were entering into more and more in the freedom and the transformation of Christ. Something had come in that was really hindering that. And in this letter, Paul, that is exactly what Paul is addressing, because he knows the dangerous places that this doctrine could take them. You see, what had happened was, Judean Jews had come into this church and they began to convince this people that, listen, in order to be saved, it's not just putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone and what he did on the cross, but you also have to be circumcised after the manner of Moses. You have to add circumcision to this. So the finished work of the cross isn't enough. It's not enough to save you. And everything that's entailed in salvation, it's not enough to transform you. It's not enough to break the bondages in your life. It's not enough to truly bring you into deeper places of freedom. You got to add the works of the law to this thing to be effective. So Paul knew the danger of that. And in this letter, this is what he began to attack. You see, in his letter, Paul tells him plainly that because you've gone back to trusting in circumcision, you're now going to go back to the bondage of your sin nature. Because you're placing your trust back in circumcision, you're going to find yourself now again defeated to strongholds that you once were being set free from. These things that you were walking in marvelous victory and freedom over, you're going to find yourself going right back to the bondage of that because you have switched your faith from simply trusting in the victory he won on the cross to some kind of works. And whenever you do that, you're going to find yourself being dominated by the sin nature again. Now understand, Paul tells the Galatians and ultimately every church, when we put our faith in or shift our faith to anything else other than Christ and his finished work on the cross, then the power of the Holy Spirit is cut off in your lives. It doesn't mean you lost your salvation. You're still saved, but his power to break the yokes and bondages in your life is cut off when you shift your faith to something else than absolute trust in the work that he finished, the victory he won on the cross. Look with me at chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. Look with me at verse 4. Verse 4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Now, does everybody see that word effect? He says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Does everybody see that word effect? That word is a Greek word, and it actually means to work powerfully in. That's what it means. It means to work powerfully in. So when Paul says no effect, he's talking about power. That's what he's talking about. And what Paul is simply saying is this. He's saying, when you place your faith in any other thing than the cross, any other thing than the victory Jesus won on the cross, then the power of the Holy Spirit is cut off in your life. That's what he's saying. That power becomes ineffectual in your life because you've shifted your faith to something else than simply trusting in the absolute victory of the cross. That's what he's saying here. Beloved, listen, the Holy Spirit, hear this. The Holy Spirit is the power in us that changes us and breaks the bondages in our life. But this is what we have to understand. He's the one that breaks the bondages in our life, but he looks for something in the heart. There's something in the heart he must see to work in our life the way he desires to work. What is it he's looking for? Absolute faith in the victory and the power of the cross. Absolute faith in the victory that Jesus won and the work that he finished on the cross. When he sees that in the heart, he works through that. That's the channel he works through to do what he wants to do in our life. Amen. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 4 again. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Then he says, you are fallen from grace. You're fallen from grace. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers say, when Paul said, you have fallen from grace, he's telling them you've lost your salvation. That's how a lot of people use this when they say, well, I think they crossed the line, they're not saved anymore, they have fallen from grace. That's the way they use it. But when you look at the context of what Paul is saying, when he says, you have fallen from grace, he's not telling them they lost their salvation. He considers him still saved. But this is what he's saying. This is what he's saying. He's saying, when you shifted your faith to something else other than the cross and the work he finished on the cross, you removed yourself from the only source that has the power to destroy the sin in your life. You removed yourself from the only source that has the power to destroy the bondages in your life. You removed yourself from the only source that has the power to change you from glory to glory. That's what he means by falling in grace. You removed yourself from the source that is working liberty in your life. That's what he's saying. And that's why Paul says in Galatians 6, this is why he says in Galatians 6, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross. In other words, when he uses the word glory there, he's talking about the object of his faith. He's saying, God forbid that I should put my faith in anything else except the cross and the finished work of the cross, because I know that's where the power to change is. That's where the power to be transformed is. That's where the power to have the yokes in my life broken. That's where the power is at. That's where the power is at. Now I want to go on to say that I believe with all my heart, this is why we are in such a bound up Christian age. This is why so many, many Christians are so bound, because so much of the church and so many pulpits are pointing to so many other things than the power and the victory Jesus wrought on the cross. I believe with all my heart, that's why Christians in the church are just as bound as those in the world. You have just as many people in the church bound as you have in the world. And I believe it's because of this very thing. It's because we're pointing people to so many other things than simply the message of the cross. On the cross, He dealt with every stronghold in your life. I want to say this. I've said it many times before, but I want to say this again. I believe in Christian counseling. I believe in Christian drug programs. I believe in Christian discipleship programs. I believe in Christian teaching. I believe in Christian seminars where the speakers are addressing the issues of people's hearts. I believe in that. But hear me. If the cross is not at the center of it all, if ultimately we're not causing people's faith to look beyond ourselves and what I can do, but looking to what He has already done on the cross, ultimately, if that is not what we are doing, then our programs and our counseling and our seminars are powerless. Because the power is in the cross. Beloved. Amen. Where are the cross preachers today? Not those that can just get up and talk about the cross, but when they cross, when they preach and teach about the cross, there's anointing and power and fire. When they do it, you don't have very many of them today. And it's because ultimately we've lost our faith in its power. In Acts chapter 27, there's so many things you can talk about. But in the story, they are in a storm of all storms. And this is what I want us to see in the storm. You look at this storm. For time's sake, we're not going to read through it. We pretty much know the story. What I want us to notice then in the storm is that these master seamen, they're powerless in this storm. There's nothing their wisdom can do to save the ship. There's nothing their seamen experience can do to save the ship. There's nothing their own strength can do to save the ship. This ship is going to go down. And in the story, what we read in our text today, they come upon an island just when the ship is about to be broken to pieces. And the word that comes to them is this: if you want to save yourself, if you want to find salvation, when this ship blows to pieces, you need to get a hold of a piece of wood. The only thing that's going to stay atop, afloat over the water, is a broken piece of board, a broken piece of lumber, a broken piece of wood on the ship. And you need to wrap your arms around that thing. And you don't let it go until you get to land. And beloved, I want to tell you, this wood represents the cross. It represents the power of the cross. It represents the freedom of the cross. And my question is simply this: where is the church pointing the world? Where is the church telling a powerless society to place their trust? You see, beloved, these raging waters in this storm, in our story, represent strengthless places. Represent places that man just cannot go. Man can't just cannot stand in his own strength. Listen, it doesn't matter how strong a person may be in their own strength. They can't walk on water. They will sink every time they try to walk on water. It represents strengthless places. And beloved, when I begin to think about this water and think about strengthless places, it so describes our society we live in. Listen, when you look at our society, when you look at the darkness, you look at the depravity, you look at the immorality, you look at the sensuality, you look at the greed, you look at the covetous, I'm telling you, man's sin nature is powerless to live above that. Man's sin nature is powerless to live above that. Man's sin nature will drown him and consume him in that every time. Every time. So the question that comes in my mind is this. So in this darkness, depraved, powerless state, in this age where society is being consumed by these raging waters of sin and darkness, where is the church pointing the world? Listen, in my years I've been walking with God. I've been to many church services. I've sat in Christian seminars where speakers were talking about getting victory over the issues of your heart, the bondages of your life. I've ministered in drug programs. I've ministered in Christian discipleship programs. And I can tell you so much of the church has brought in human psychology and human ideas to try to deal with the strongholds that are in people's lives. And you will very rarely hear a simple anointed message on the cross with power and conviction that the cross has the power to deal with everything in your life. You won't hear that. You hear the three steps and the four steps. You hear all these kind of things. But missing, something strangely missing. What is it? It's the thing that should be at the center of it all. It's not what you can do. It's what He has already done for you on the cross. And it's because we've lost faith in the power of the cross. Oh, sure, we sing songs about the cross. Thank you for the cross. And old rugged. We sing the songs and we have the cross put on our bulletins. And listen, we tell sinners, you know, come to Jesus, you're lost, you're washers. We tell them that. But listen, you rarely hear an anointed message to the church. To the church. That the cross has the power to deal with everything that's in your life. And the reason why we don't preach it is because we don't believe it. And because we don't believe it, that's why we brought in so much worldly psychology and step programs and here's methods that you need to follow. We brought in all this stuff instead of telling them, lift your eyes to the cross. Amen. Amen. You know, there are a lot of cross preachers out there. When I mean cross preachers, I'm not necessarily talking about Jesus on the cross. He's not on the cross anymore. The tomb is empty. I'm talking about the work He finished on the cross. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," you know what He was saying? He was saying everything that needed to be done for you to live victory over your sin nature, it has been done. Sin nature can't captivate you anymore because of what He did on the cross. Listen, hear me. There are a lot of cross preachers out there, but very, 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 very few who really preach it with anointing and power that will open your prison doors. They just preach it because it's there. But the church doesn't believe it anymore. They really don't believe it has the power not only to deal with your sin, but it can break your depression. It can break the fears that captivate your life. It can break the lusts that dominate and control you. You don't really hear that preached that much with conviction in the heart. Because we don't believe it no more. So we bring in the world's helps and the world's ideas. And as Paul said, when you begin to switch your faith to anything else, the Holy Ghost is quenched in your life. Now here's what's really on my heart. Beloved, that was all my foundation. Are you awake out there? Yeah. Amen. To be honest with you right now, I don't care if the Giants win or the Ravens win. I don't. God is here. And His Word is here. And this is where my heart is this morning. Amen. Here's what is really on my heart. We cannot point to the cross with absolute conviction and confidence until we ourselves have been stripped of all other trust. Until we have walked in hopeless places, strengthless places in our hearts, and everything we have tried has failed. Everything we can do has failed. Our praying and fasting has failed. Our confessing promises has failed. Our making altar calls has failed. And now all we can do is just wait on the Lord to come and breathe life in these powerless places. All we can do is wait until a prayer formulates, not in my mind, but finally in my heart. God, everything has failed. But I know Your Word says that on the cross, Jesus purchased every victory I need in my life. And now I'm not looking to anything else. I am wholly looking to the victory He has won on the cross. Beloved, we can't with confidence and conviction of heart point people to the cross until we ourselves have walked in captivated, strengthless places and everything we have done has failed. And now all we can do is wait on God. But in our waiting upon God, He comes and He breathes life. One morning I wake up and realize I'm free, not because of anything I have done, but because He has done it for His honor and His glory. To me, the making of a new covenant minister that ministers new covenant with power starts there. It starts walking in your own captivated places, your own powerless places. And everything you do fails. Lord, why am I free? I prayed and fasted 7 days for a year. Why aren't I free? Lord, I've stood on Your Word. I've even placed it on the ground and stood on it. I've seen people do that. And I've confessed Your promises and confessed Your promises. Nothing has worked. Because it's not about what you can do. And when you finally get through with all that, and you're just waiting in hope, saying, God, You've got to come and do it. That's when I'm going to come and do it. I call it the Lazarus places of our life. Remember, Lazarus was in the tomb, powerless and strengthless. Nothing he could do. And God will leave Lazarus places in your life. Strengthless places, captivated places. Places where you will try and try again in your own ideas and in your own strength to get victory and freedom. And it doesn't work. And then all we can do is just place our hope in the Lord. And then He comes and breathes life in these places of death and power into these places of captivity. And here's the question I want to end with. When resurrection life suddenly touches these Lazarus places, these places of barrenness and lifelessness and captivity, what happens inside of us? When everything we have done has failed, and all we can do is look to His victory on the cross and wait upon the Lord. And suddenly that life and that power and that freedom comes to these places of captivity. What happens in our hearts when that happens? What happens in our heart? A living faith and a living conviction sets into the heart. And this is it. When man is powerless to help me, when humanity, with all of its philosophy and ideology and self-helps, is powerless to set someone free. When the church, with all of its psychology and step programs, is powerless to set someone free from their captivity. The cross is the power of God that cannot be denied. When the Lord suddenly comes and opens those prison doors and breathes life into those places of death, there's a realization that gets in the heart. Man is strengthless. Humanity is strengthless. But the power of the cross cannot be denied. You know, I think we have what I call a Joshua standing at the walls of Jericho moment. after that ark, after that mercy seat, which represents the cross, the blood in that mercy represents the cross, went around that wall for the last time on that seventh day. I believe there had to be a moment in time, if just a brief moment in time, that all Joshua could do was stand in amazement, his mouth gaping open as he watched the walls begin to crumble. I believe with all my heart there had to be a moment that all Joshua could do was just stand in wonder and amazement as these indestructible walls begin to tumble down. He may have came to himself or got a hold of himself somewhere, but there had to be, if just a brief moment, he stood in awe as these walls begin to come down. And beloved, I believe with all my heart, when suddenly God breathes resurrection life in the places of death, when God begins to bring freedom in places that we tried over and over and over to get free, but we couldn't get free, when he finally comes and he brings that freedom and strength and life, what's going to happen is the heart is going to bow in amazement at what only the power of the cross can do. And then when that happens in your life, there's no other place you can point a captivated world except to the cross. You know in your heart, there's no other place. I've seen what its power can do in my life. And when humanity is powerless, I know where the power is at. It's in the cross. And I don't preach it just because it says it in the book. I preach it with conviction because I've lived it in my life. Amen. I really believe that. I believe the making of a new covenant minister begins with God allowing captivity in your life, strengthless places in your life, places where you fight so hard to get victory, but you can't get victory in your life. And finally, all you can do is look to God. Say, God, I'm finished. But I know what your word says about the cross. And that's where I'm beginning to look. That's where I'm beginning to put all my trust, all my hope. I believe that's where the making of a new covenant minister begins. Beloved, you got things going on in your life. You got things in your life that you're captivated to. You got things in your life where you've tried so hard to get victory over, and you just can't seem to get victory over. Congratulations, you are being made into an anointed new covenant minister. Because when you're finally through, we all say, oh, I'm through. I reached the end of my strength. Oh, blah, 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 blah. We all say that. But God knows when you're finally through. He knows when the words out of your mouth are really a reality in your heart. That's when he says, now watch this. I'm just going to come and breathe life. Tomorrow you're going to wake up, get out of bed, and realize I'm walking in victory. Not just for a day, not just for a week. I'm walking in victory. Not because of anything I've done, but because of the victory he's already won on the cross. So congratulations. God is preparing you to be a powerful new covenant ministry. And you know what your ministry is going to be? Pointing people to the cross. You're going to be like Paul. I have no other message but Christ and him crucified. You know what Paul was saying when he said, I have no other message. I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Paul was saying, when I come to address the bondages that are in your life, I'm only bringing you one message. And that's the victory he won on the cross. That's the only message I'm bringing you. And in that preaching of the cross, you will see the active power of God move in your life. So I want to congratulate you. Congratulations. New Covenant ministers with anointing. Congratulations. God is bringing you to the end of yourself so you can finally see the power of the cross. And then when you walk out of here, you got a message. A message. Stand with me this morning.